Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week's episode of Primates is brought to you by me, Matt Stewart, and my 2020 live comedy show, Monkey House, to the Brisbane Comedy Festival at the Powerhouse from the 10th to the 15th of March. Back home to Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the Victoria Hotel from the 26th of March to the 19th of April. You can grab tickets now with the discount code PODCAST. And that gets you a real handsome discount via mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. That's mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. Now on with the show.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, a podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined, as nearly always, by the official second banana of the show. It's the host of the Jiminy James, Frank Grimes, Griming Show, Evan Munro Smith. Welcome, Evan.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for being had.
Okay. He tricked you. You've been had.
This week on the show, joining us back for 2 weeks in a row... Oh, God. Back in the Monkey House, it's Sans Pants Radio broadcasters, Cass Page and best boy Adam Carnevale.
Yay!
Hey.
It's a monkey noise.
That is a great monkey noise.
It's also our chant.
Do you want to be a best boy as well? I feel like I left you out there.
Yeah, but I don't want to take anything away from Adam.
That's fair. Jackson.
I'll be the worst boy.
The worst boy.
That is how we're often described.
You're pretty bad at being a boy, I guess. Now, you will both know from last week and previous episodes that Evan's favourite primate is a human, in particular Andy from Toy Story. Any updates on sort of trying to dislodge this stupid belief of Evan's?
You always give me a run for my money.
So, last week, in fact, I basically argued you to a standstill. So this is the moment, ladies and gentlemen listening at home and in the studio.
Finish him.
If I
I was sick last week though. I'm still a little bit sick. But my resolve was
weakened. And I'm sick this week. Sick and fucking tired. So If I can't work through your armor today and get inside the castle, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to. I mean, I'll not stop, but I don't know if I'll ever.
You'll never be
able
on the
to.
Show again.
This is your weakest moment. You are at your lowest, and I am at my most powerful.
Okay. You've got your foot on his throat.
I have you. I've worked you into the corner. So today's primate is Magilla Gorilla. Magilla Gorilla.
Yeah.
And Magilla Gorilla wears clothes. He can talk, though apparently his speech is downplayed. Not unlike how Andy gets downplayed for the toys.
Yes.
What?
What? Andy is not the main character. He gets sidelined and the toys come to the forefront. So, clothes. Okay. Speaks, but his speech is like no good or whatever. He speech is no good.
Have you seen Megilla Gorilla? I haven't really.
It's been a long time. I just looked up apes that could talk.
What do you mean his speech is no good?
It's so
like he's. Speaks poor
English. They describe it as downplayed. So it was initially in the early seasons or episodes of the show, he spoke a lot more.
Right.
But then they like started to, he spoke less and less and less and spoke, when he spoke, it was more like, sort of, you know, like just simple things. Still does have a voice actor though. So there is a human being behind this ultimately.
Uh-huh.
Now let me just throw some things at you. We got a gorilla for sale. Megilla Gorilla for sale. Won't you buy him? Take him home and try him. Gorilla for sale. He's real. He's ideal.
Oh.
And he's awfully cute. An ever-living doll in a monkey suit. Megilla Gorilla for sale. The response... How much is that gorilla in the window? As if you'll recall, as I vaguely remember, he is in the window of a pet store on for sale, but the pet owner can never get rid of him.
Right.
If you recall the premise of the show.
I don't think I've ever seen it. We should do an episode on it.
Well, absolutely.
Next week.
Next week, absolutely. So how much is that gorilla in the window? The response is, take our advice at any price. A gorilla like Megilla is mighty nice. Gorilla, Megilla gorilla for sale.
Imagine that. You've got a talking gorilla for sale and no buyers.
No buyers. Yeah. I know.
That seems bizarre.
Well, you don't want to invite someone into your home and then they get to say shit about how you live.
Oh,
he is
a judgmental gorilla.
He is like Andy, unloved.
He sounds very similar to Andy. Only wears a bow tie and suspenders, which I think is an up.
Wears clothes.
Sell.
Speaks.
Andy wears clothes, though.
Yeah.
I made the mistake before of looking up the Andy fandom page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I would have thought you'd be a moderator of.
Well.
Of just the page specifically.
I don't think I looked at it until recently, but it says that Andy Davis is a major character in Toy Story, which I think a lot of people pick on Andy for not being a proper character from Toy Story, but he's a major character.
Megilla Gorilla is in the name of the show.
You're right.
He is also a major character.
It's not called Andy from Toy Story.
Name one difference. Go on. I'll wait.
Well...
But I
yes!
No, yes! Andy can talk.
So can Megilla Gorilla.
He can talk better than Megilla Gorilla.
I think as well, this is like, you know, in the cricket, if Australia was holding the Ashes, England had to beat Australia to win the Ashes. You can't draw with Evan here.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're blocking him. You need to go further.
You're right. That's my mistake. Maybe I can, but maybe Megilla Gorilla. Well, anyway, all right. I concede that Andy speaks better than Megilla Gorilla.
Andy also has better clothes.
Truly, you're kidding me.
Where's his bow tie?
Oh, wait, no.
Where's his bow tie? Where's his suspenders?
Well, he
has
more clothing.
I'm going off one picture.
More does not... quality and quantity are literally separated by words.
Andy's fandom wiki has a section on physical appearance, which I was reading through before. I'll read a section of this. At the beginning of Toy Story, he wears a green t-shirt with a cowboy playing a guitar in the top right corner, blue shorts, white socks, and white sneakers with blue laces. When he goes to Pizza Planet, he wears a purple polo shirt but keeps his blue shorts. On moving day, he wears a light blue t-shirt with light brown shorts. However, he wears his original outfit in a shot where he sadly leaves his old room holding his hat and Buzz's box. But this could either be an error or he slept in those clothes.
But it also makes sense because we first meet him on his birthday. Maybe that's his favourite outfit.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just wearing them again.
Yeah.
It's good he had a second wear out of them as pyjamas.
Yep.
Also, shorts,
he's seen
of course,
in two
can
sets
be worn
of pajamas.
More than once. Shirts, you know, I would wear shorts more than once.
Yeah.
Shirts
yeah.
you should change over.
No, it depends on if you've had a stinky day or not.
Oh, well, that's true.
Sometimes
well, maybe
in
Andy
the
just
winter,
didn't have a stinky day.
He didn't have a stinky day. It's absurd to me that they're not listing liked the clothes as one of the two reasons he could have worn the clothes a second time.
So
I just thought it was strange that they go through literally every outfit he's had in Three films or four films?
Let's go through every outfit Megilla Gorilla has. So Megilla Gorilla starts the show wearing a purple and green bowler hat, a purple bow tie, green suspenders, great color coordination, can I say so far?
Yeah.
Red shorts. Brown, I want to say, what type of shoe is that? I forget. The one where it's got like a fancy pattern on it. Is it a winged
shoe?
Almost look like bowling shoes.
Yeah, something like that. There's a name. Anyway, lovely leather brown shoes.
Yep.
A cane, a walking cane.
Does he need that cane?
Well, presumably it's an accoutrement.
Yeah. He's eccentric.
He's French for accoutrement. And he has a hanky. He understands good hygiene.
Sure.
Probably better than Andy the Child does. Is that a win or a negative for you?
Do you like good hygiene? I guess the question.
Yes, hygiene is important.
Well,
ding, Megilla Gorilla 1 point.
Megilla Gorilla 1 point, and I think if we're respecting Andy and his choice of saying he didn't have a stinky day, that means Andy also respects good hygiene. So I think that is.
If Andy needs to change clothes a bunch, I'm not saying he. Look, I'm not saying he has poor hygiene, but I only wear one pair of clothes during the day. Thank you very much, and I have good hygiene.
Yeah, Megilla Gorilla wins on this one.
Oh, okay.
He does I do like the
Cass.
The bowler hat and the bow tie is good.
Yes. That he definitely dresses sharper. Can we bring this to a head, Evan? I want a decision because I want to hold back a bit. I'm just reading about Megilla Gorilla. He'd make a great episode. So I want to end the discussion on Megilla now to save that for a future episode. But Evan, give us a call. Obviously, we know what you're going to say. Megilla Gorilla is better than Andy from Toy Story.
No, we don't need to hear, you say it.
I think we should hear it from him. We all know he's going to say it. Let's just hear it in his words.
Please,
phrase it slightly differently.
I think maybe Andy from Toy Story is better than Megilla Gorilla.
Do you have a reason?
Maybe. It's hopeful.
I think he's smarter. He can talk. He presumably eats things other than bananas. He doesn't need a cane to get around. Maybe his clothes aren't as
go with people
eccentric.
Who need a cane to get around?
I'm just saying it's better if you don't need one.
Evan.
You know, it's an optional thing.
Evan doesn't get outside in society much, so sometimes he says things.
I'm sorry.
How many points are we ultimately saying for Andy and for Megilla Gorilla? Because I think from memory, we've only given 1 point, and it was to Megilla Gorilla.
Who's giving points?
I think I was.
Okay.
So it's 1-0 at the moment.
Yeah, that's kind of... Look, you would agree that one is greater than zero, yeah?
Yes.
So you must agree that Megilla Gorilla is better.
No.
Well, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
If I could give points,
yeah,
I would give. I'm going to give some points to Andy,
please,
for being able to talk.
All right, able to talk,
even if it is to imaginary.
How many
toy
points? Because if it's more than one, then Andy wins.
I'm going to give Andy a second point. For being presumably smarter than Megilla Gorilla. Although I don't.
Presumably.
But slippery language.
He just doesn't. Megilla Gorilla looks like, an adorable oaf.
He gets into antics.
Yeah.
Sure.
Megilla Gorilla manages to be so cheeky that he weasels his way out of every family, and Andy has a mum the entire series. So.
That's a good thing.
Having a mum.
No, we're just checking for intelligence at this stage.
Oh, okay.
Who's emancipating themselves first? Megilla Gorilla every episode.
Megilla Gorilla does not need a mother or father. He's looking after himself in this world.
Okay. I think I need to see Megilla Gorilla.
Okay. All right.
Know more about
so let's break episode. And maybe in the next week or so, we'll do a Megilla Gorilla episode and that at the end of that episode when you got all the information.
Must remember, intelligence and able to talk. That's going to be important.
Okay, they're important. But this week, we're actually talking about Community, the sitcom series from America, in particular Annie's Boobs, which will sound... odd to people who don't know the series. It's been suggested by a bunch of listeners, including Kat Goldman from London, Andrew from Brisbane, Joel Korzep from Kansas City, Nick Verderosa from Bethel, Socri Francis from Dublin, and Hannah White from Canberra. The show, Community, The storyline is, according to IMDb, a former lawyer attends a community college when it is discovered he faked his bachelor's degree. In an attempt to get with his a student in his Spanish class, he forms a Spanish study group. To his surprise, more people attend the study group, and the group of misfits form an unlikely community.
Oh.
And that's how it all begins.
Yeah.
It's a lovely show.
It is very nice.
So I got a message a couple of days ago from Adam and or Cass. I forget which. They blur into one in my mind.
That's fair enough.
We do tend to message in unison.
Yes.
And they said, we want to do Community. We want to talk about Annie's boobs. I said, that's great. I just finished watching the series for the first time late last year, I think.
It's a good series. I quite like it.
It is good. And it's aged, like, surprisingly well. Mm-hmm. For sitcoms, like, obviously,
hard to say that about
it is really hard to say that. Every now and then something comes up and you're like, but it's not super often.
I think it's remained pretty fresh.
It's also not that old.
Yeah,
when did
so
it finish
2015.
2015? That's fair. It wasn't long ago.
That's fair.
It does feel like it's like less than a decade old to me. That's how fresh it feels.
Okay.
Which I guess makes sense.
I've actually never really seen it. I remember when it was running, I did try to watch a few episodes and try to get into it because I'd heard good things about it. But it just didn't really grab me. But in preparation for this episode, I watched the episode which first features Annie's boobs.
Yes.
We're all adults. Character. We can say it.
I say it feels like less than a decade old when it's actually about a decade and 4 months old. So
yeah,
well, there you go.
So yeah, it is. That's how fresh it is.
It's ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was a little ahead of its time. Annie's boobs. Do we want to explain that, Evan? Well, Evan, you've just watched the episode where Annie's boobs was introduced. Do you want to talk us through it?
Sure. So it's season 1, episode 21.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the first of, 6 seasons of the show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty...
Something they said for a long time, wasn't it?
Six seasons in a movie. Yeah.
The movie's still...
I don't think they're going to get the movie.
That's a community thing, is it? That's what they're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was a phrase they used in the show.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because of the cast? Some of the cast members have gone on to be pretty big stars.
A couple of the cast members are kind of doing their own things now, so it's
Childish
kind of
Gambino.
Yeah.
Kind of doing their own thing.
Him and Alison Brie are probably the two breakout stars from it.
Yes, I would say so.
John McHale, like, right? He does heaps of...
He was kind of famous already before, though.
Like, his stuff is all... He's, like, on the E! Network doing, like... Pretty much just playing himself
E-Network,
as a host.
Then Netflix, then back to E!
Yeah, I watched his Netflix show. I liked that.
I quite liked it as well.
So this episode, I'm coming in obviously late. This is late in the first season, and I haven't seen anything much before that. Thanks for that introduction to... So there is a study group.
Yeah.
Where they're supposed to be studying things, although I gather they don't do a lot of that. At least not in this episode.
More antics than study.
It would be a very dry season or series if it was just studying, I suppose.
It'd be a different show.
Yeah.
So Jeff, played by John McHale, is the leader of this study group. It has a bunch of, sitcom misfit characters. So there, in this particular episode, it's mostly about food. So they're at a college. And they have lunch in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. It's a weird explaining a show that I've only watched one episode in isolation.
I'm loving it, though.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I was about to say I wish every episode was this.
So the key sort of thread of this episode is that the only good thing to eat in the cafeteria is the chicken fingers, and but they always run out too soon. So they always have to run and try to be first in to get chicken fingers, otherwise they miss out. The guy that makes the chicken fingers is this guy they call Starburns. I don't know if this is a regular character.
He is, yeah, he's a recurring character. Okay. Who dies, comes back, dies. Oh, sorry, spoilers.
How does he...
he fakes his death like twice, I
right,
think.
Okay.
He, pretty believably, though.
Yeah.
Like, watching it, he's dead.
Very much so.
His name comes from his sideburns, which are
just a coincidence.
Shaved in the shape of stars, which is just awful.
It's gross.
So chicken fingers. They want chicken fingers. The group. That they notice that Starburns is favoring some friends of his, I think, by sort of keeping some chicken fingers on the side and giving them to his friends, right? And they're like, well, that's not fair. There's not enough to go around. And so what they do is they realize that they could do this, and so they devise a plan to have Starburns sacked from the fryer job where he's making these chicken fingers.
You have such great giving a book report energy right now.
It's so perfect.
It's so good.
It doesn't sound much like a comedy, does it?
I'm loving it.
Trust me, there's humor in this. So they come up with a plan to have him sacked because I think that he's fired because they dob on him for skimming the chicken fingers and giving them to his friends, even though they plan to do exactly the same thing. There's a character named Abed.
Abed.
One of the core characters.
And he, I don't know if this is part of his character generally or if they reveal that in this episode, he's the son of... He used to work in a restaurant. He was a son of a chef, possibly.
His dad owns... Oh, is it a restaurant? I thought it was a news agency, but it might be a restaurant, actually. I forgot.
Well, they say because he does the deep frying. Or he used to cook at his dad's...
It must be a restaurant.
Yeah, right. So he's the one in the group that has any sort of, I guess, cooking credentials. And so they engineer for him to get this job that they've just created a vacancy in. And he gets the job. They do a bit of, they try to make sure that there aren't any good applicants, even send in a bad. I think it's Donald Glover's character who goes in to sort
Troy.
Of.
Troy.
Yes, Troy. Okay, so he goes in to throw an interview as well to make.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot they do that. And he's got like the.
Just he's got
the
like an
Egyptian headdress on. Oh, it was so funny.
So that makes Abed look better by comparison, I think is the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have this other character, Pierce, who's an older guy, right? Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm. Chevy Chase. It's great. I'm loving it. Everyone at home, imagine Ethan, Evan, sorry. Oh, gosh, so sorry. imagine Evan is standing at the front of the class giving this report and you were watching while the teacher up the back is just tapping a pen on her board watching him. It's very good. I'm very amused by this.
I feel
this.
Very on the spot. So, Pierce is a reference, a referee. So they fake that as well. So, Abed gets the job and they basically start this like crime syndicate sort of a situation where they suddenly hold all the power because everybody wants chicken fingers and there's not enough to go around. And so they start doing deals with people to curry favor around the college. Mm-hmm. And they start getting things as a group, right? Pierce, he does a deal with the AV guys, so now he's got like a TV and some sort of games console, PlayStation or something in the study room that they're in. what else happens? I'm trying to think of one of the that Pierce gets an entourage.
Yeah.
I guess because they all want chicken, and so they hang around with him to get chicken.
Any monkey sort of business?
Yeah, and of course,
does someone get a monkey as a
yes?
A gift?
So Troy, Donald Glover's character, gets a monkey and names the monkey Annie's Boobs, which
after
he
one
explains,
of the other characters.
Yes, there's okay. So there is a character called
Alison Brie's character.
Yeah, oh, Alison Brie's character. Okay,
The monkey has a explain on the show, the monkey has its own Twitter account, and on the Twitter account, they launched a poll to see what the name should be, and the name that was selected was Annie's Boobs.
And Annie says, please change its name. These are my body parts. And she said, yeah, well,
Troy goes, hey, he can name himself whatever he wants. And she goes, well, don't make another poll on Twitter. She said, it's his Twitter account. He can poll whatever he likes. I've fucking butchered all that. It was good fun.
There's humor in there.
It's beautiful.
I think this show is the hardest when we're talking about something that's already funny.
Are you kidding? This is the best episode ever.
Okay, so things are looking good. They control the chicken. They have the power over this college, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But good things don't always last.
Especially in sitcoms, right?
Yeah. They have to return to the status quo somehow, right? Jeff is normally the alpha, the leader of the group.
Yeah.
But now Abed holds all the power because he holds all the chicken. Jeff, there's a bit of friction between people and Jeff feels like he doesn't really have control anymore. Mm-hmm. And he starts to feel threatened by Abed who does have control over the group now.
Yes. He's a prideful man.
Yes. And then, so this causes Jeff to leave the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's an outcast. He doesn't have chicken anymore. But then he buddies up briefly with Star Burns, who has been fired from his fry cook job, but he's still around the college. I guess he's a student there.
Yeah.
And Star Burns gives him this little piece of information. He says that there is a valve on the fryer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if you were to turn this valve or whatever, Jeff would be able to sabotage the fryer, and then they wouldn't have the chicken anymore, and Abed would not have the power anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a part here where I don't know why Jeff didn't threaten Abed, because he could have had Abed sacked the same way they had Starburn sacked, right?
But they're friends.
Right. Okay.
And he wanted his friends to like him still. Because if he threatened Abed, then his friends wouldn't have liked him still.
Yeah, I think it's just the way the story went. Like, he could have fixed the problem in a number of different ways. This is the way the story proposes that he fixes it.
Right.
Do you want to, while you're collecting your thoughts, I just found this thing. So we're talking about how it all returns to the status quo, or whatever you said.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon sort of famously, he's the creator who also created or co-created Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
Co-created, I believe.
So you can sort of see little hints towards Rick and Morty, sort of sci-fi nods and all this stuff through it, I think.
Yeah.
But he kind of famously has a story circle, which I've just found pretty briefly.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah, I've heard him talking about this before.
The end of he's pretty big on this. And it does come back to the status quo, but something's changed at the same time. So this is how...
It's like his version of the hero's journey.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So this is how I found it written out on
a napkin?
On a fandom. Yeah.
I think
transcribed from a napkin.
Yeah, I think I've seen a version of it where he wrote it on a napkin.
It says this attributes this all to Dan Harmon. It says, storytelling comes naturally to humans, but since we live in an unnatural world, we sometimes need a little help doing what we'd naturally do. And this is how he explains it. Draw a circle, then divide it in half vertically. Divide the circle again horizontally. So you're basically drawing a cross
through a
circle.
Yeah.
So you've divided a circle into four parts.
Yes.
And then you've got almost like a clock, only with eight numbers around it.
Sure.
Starting from the 12 o'clock position and going clockwise, number the 4 points where the lines cross the circle 1, 3, 5, and 7. This is all a bit tedious. But basically, this is those eight sections go like this, and this is how the story comes around in a circle. Character, another step one. A character is in a zone of comfort. Step two, see if you can put this onto this episode.
Zone of comfort. So that's, I guess, the status quo in this case.
Yeah.
They're all more or less fine, except I guess the step two would be that they
but they want they step want two chicken. They want something.
Yeah. They want chicken.
Okay. Step three, they enter an unfamiliar situation. I guess is that them working?
Yeah, that would be they flip the switch yeah. And Starburns gets fired, then Abed gets placed in as fry cook.
Starting a crime syndicate. Yes. Would be the unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Then four, adapt to the unfamiliar situation. I guess they start.
Yeah. So they're doing well, right? Like, yeah, exactly, yeah.
They get their new backpacks, the entourages. They get their Annie's boobs.
That's step five. They get what they wanted.
Yeah.
Step six, pay a heavy price for it. Is that the friendship falling apart?
Yeah. So what happens is Jeff Winger, he loses control of the group. He becomes a bit ostracized and he gets a bit mad at everyone. And I think also people within the group get like kind of full of themselves. They start taking things for granted. And so I think Abed does is like one of them gets a really nice backpack. Abed shreds the backpack.
Annie gets a nice backpack. Yeah. She does a robot dance to celebrate.
So he starts taking away
the things that he gave them. For example, Annie's boobs gets let loose.
Yes.
The monkey. We'll get to that later.
Yes. So six, pay a heavy price for it. Seven, then return to their familiar situation, but eight, having changed.
Okay. I'm not sure. I mean, without seeing much of the show in context, I don't know what's changed in this situation.
Because I think that's kind of the most important one, I guess, but it's not always clear.
I think Community is one of those shows where, you know how you have a show where every episode the characters have changed by the end of it and you see that? So, like, it's not The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Its characters are progressing and developing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's the ones that are like The Simpsons, where no one changes. Everyone needs to relearn their lesson next season, yada, yada. I think Community is a type of show that sits somewhere in the middle, where you do see characters progressing and they do change, but it's very tiny and in minute ways. It's a slow development.
Because a lot of them feel 2D-ish. Like, they've all kind of cliched characteristics.
I would say
that's
absolutely,
part of the fun,
yeah.
But so that's what I find interesting. And probably often I'd have to end an episode and someone would have to explain to me what's changed.
There is a bit of... There's maybe some potential character development in the sort of, like, sincere moment at the end when
the sort of watered down Full House moment where they they all
so
realize they're gonna be nice to each other.
Jeff goes I think kind of the cover of darkness goes into the kitchen to sabotage the fryer and finds that Abed is there and he's trying out tater tots, I think.
Yeah,
because people are sick of chicken and they have an earnest moment between them. But without really knowing the characters, I don't really know what that's sort of all about. But there's potentially some development there. There's also Annie's boobs sticks around. So I guess that's also a change at the end of this episode.
Yes, we
that
do get
true.
The new character of Annie's boobs. Infrequent character, but causes some serious issues down the line, which we will get to.
Yeah, Annie's boobs, I think, last appearance is in season four. So I guess they just lost the budget for Crystal the monkey.
That's very fair. Famous monkey.
Very big famous.
We've spoken about this monkey before.
Big star monkey. So. Yeah.
Should we talk about the monkey?
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I think I might be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure Crystal the monkey was also the rally monkey, like I think it was the LA Angels baseball team's mascot.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, and they were like, they made plush dolls and stuff of it. Little rally monkey. Anyway, this is from this is from the Community fandom. We don't edit, so hold your sneezes till the end.
I'm so sorry.
Bless you.
Oh, sorry, bless you. That's my version of bless you. Hold your sneezes. Annie's boobs. So this is from the fandom page for Community. And Annie's boobs has its own page. Annie's boobs is Troy's pet monkey, Troy being a Childish Gambino.
Donald Glover.
Yes.
Annie's boobs is Troy's pet monkey who was given to him as a boon for his work as the bag man in the Chicken Fingers distribution network headed by his best friend Abed Nadir.
Literally a bag man, not, I think there's another term for bag man.
Yeah, isn't that the money man?
Yeah, maybe.
Bag man?
I don't know.
Is that like a bookie as a bag man?
He literally carries the chicken in bags, is the important thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm very certain it's a pun or a play on something, presumably.
I know, just know Rachel Maddow has a book about it.
Apparently,
a podcast about it. Sorry.
It can mean traveling salesman in Britain mainly. It can also mean a tramp or homeless man, according to Wikipedia. Tramps, an old school word.
Okay.
So goes on to say, a mischievous and sneaky creature, the monkey made its home later in the school's air vent systems. Occasionally, Annie's boobs would sneak out to procure various items to add to what appeared to be a shrine it was creating in honor of the study group. His first appearance
That's quite a claim. I don't know if that comes through in the show.
That's a deep read.
A shrine.
Annie's boobs gets released while it's in the study room, and it goes into the vent and stays in the vent that it found.
And then starts stealing things that just, like, because they use the study room.
Yeah.
It just happens to steal a bunch of their
Sounds
things.
Sounds like a shrine to me.
Yeah, well, okay. I guess I have no proof otherwise.
Yeah. Its first appearance was in the season one episode Contemporary American Poultry, which Evan just told us all about in a beautiful book report. and he is played by animal actor Crystal the Monkey. Interesting, it's a he. But I think...
The character.
The character, yeah. According to this one, anyway.
Did they say what type of monkey it is? Because I think it's a capuchin, but I don't really know my... Yeah, okay.
It's a capuch.
Yeah, I don't really
Classic
know my...
Classic screen monkey.
Classic, capuch. Yeah.
I don't know my primates that well, so it was kind of just a guess.
Do you want to go through future years?
Please.
Apparently in the second year, in the group's second year at Greendale. Greendale is the community college they attend.
Yes,
Annie's boobs is returned stealthily stealing a pen and resulting in an inquisition led by Annie to discover who stole her property.
Quite an episode.
It's a bottle episode.
Yeah, it's a bottle episode. As Abed famously says in the episode,
yeah, so
it's
Abed's
a bottle episode.
A big, he's a like a real screen nerd. He loves TV and film.
Yeah,
so
that
he's
definitely
often
comes through in the episode
breaking
that I watched.
The fourth wall or sort of. Is he actually
He does sometimes. Yeah.
He
does literal fourth wall breaking.
No, because he's sort of talking about it as if it's a TV show and the others are like, it's not a TV show.
He's annoying.
I guess you're right that he never breaks the fourth wall by addressing the audience, but he does talk about, like, he...
He does meta jokes about episodes.
Yeah, yes. He talks about how the story is progressing and story structure in general that is relevant to the episode.
And, like,
he's
freeze
in.
Frames and he's narrating...
Yeah,
right?
That.
Oh, maybe not.
That's in that episode, though.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, in Contemporary American Poultry. Because in a lot of the episodes, they'll do, like, it'll be him doing a movie.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. So he'll recreate the film style.
Right.
Recreate the film style.
So Contemporary American Poultry is a reference to a film?
Oh, I don't think...
Or is it just Goodfellas, Godfather sort of...
I think the... So are you talking about the name of the episode specifically?
No, the episode structure.
Because they often...
It would be a reference.
They sort of do genre parodies a lot.
Yeah, they do. So the episode is probably not... Maybe not specifically a parody of a specific movie, but it would be definitely a parody of how those movies are structured.
Yeah.
The episode name, I know for a fact that all of the episodes are just titled to make them sound like courses you could take at a college.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so if you look at any episode title, it'll be something like...
American Poultry. Yeah, of course. So this one the bottle episode about Annie's stolen pen is called Cooperative Calligraphy.
Yes, yeah.
It goes on to say the monkey had apparently been collecting various items related to the study group, which I assume is for some sort of a shrine.
Including many of Annie's pens.
He kept his growing collection inside his home in the school's air vents. It wasn't until the end of the year that the group learned he was responsible after Troy noticed him stealing a paintbrush he was using for the group's latest diorama project for anthropology. Ben Chang, who we haven't spoken about, Ben Chang's cool, was quite a fun character. Where does he start as?
He starts as the Spanish teacher.
That's right.
So in season one, he's the Spanish teacher. But then I think it's at the end of season one, he's discovered to be a fake. He doesn't know Spanish. He's just pretending. And Greendale is not really checking that sort of stuff. So I think in season two, he becomes a student. And then from season three, we kind of begin the down spiral of his life where he becomes less and less of like a regular human being and more of a parody of whatever he was at the beginning of the series.
And he ends up as a student, does he?
Yeah, he ends up a student several times. He's faculty a couple of times as well.
And he's a security guard.
Yeah, at one point he's a security guard.
There's a really great...
At one point he gets gassed by monkey knockout.
Yes, yes. So there's like a thing, it must be like between seasons or something where he's lost his job or whatever bad thing has happened to him and he's living in the vents with the monkey and his boobs. And then someone's like, we can hear someone in the vents. Oh, yeah, that's probably the monkey living in the vents. And so they use a gas called chimpanzees to
knock out the monkey to put it to sleep so they can get it.
And he gets stuck in the monkey.
Put it to sleep, like literally, not figuratively putting it to sleep. They're trying to capture it alive.
Right.
So it says Ben Chang followed the monkey into an air vent, finding all the stolen loot he had accumulated over the last year. When the group members see the recovered items, they begin to reminisce about recent adventures they had together.
Oh, that's a great episode. It's a flashback episode where all of the flashbacks are nothing that have happened in the show.
Oh.
So they're like,
I was gonna say, it sounds like a clip show.
It is, but it's like a joke on clip show. So they pick up like a little cowboy gun or whatever, and they're like, oh, remember that time we went to a cowboy town? They flashback to that, and they're in a cowboy town, but that is not an episode we've seen.
Right.
It's very good.
It's interesting that, but yeah, if you're not paying attention, you'd basically would assume that it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's done like right on point with,
they do a lot of very meta jokes about the structure of shows.
The more we talk about it, the more I think this should be your kind of show, Evan.
Yeah. Yes.
Evan is in the mind being like, no homework for Evan, no homework for Evan.
I should watch more of it because it does sound good.
You don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have
to. If you don't like it, don't waste time doing something you don't like.
I feel like I should give it more of a chance.
I'm not, look, Cass, I'm not trying to pressure him into doing something I don't want to do. I just think he would actually really like this because I think I had a very similar experience to him when someone recommended it to me and I watched the first handful of episodes of season one a few years after it came out and it didn't take me or I didn't take to it. And then tried again with someone else recommending it. And got through it all. I really enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah, maybe Evan and I aren't so different after all.
Maybe.
Okay.
Mm. I guess I just haven't found it, from what I've seen of it, I haven't found it very funny.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But
which is hard when you're going in thinking it's a comedy. But this isn't. It's not a comedy show.
Well, but I can...
Wait, is it a comedy?
It is. Yes.
But I can see...
I laugh at it a lot. Oh,
I see. No, I think it's very funny.
It seems like a lot of the comedy comes from the characters and getting to know the characters rather than just jokes. There are jokes in it. I'm not going to say there aren't jokes in it. There obviously are. But I think I would appreciate it more if I'd watched through it properly and really got to know the characters more.
Maybe.
I think the thing I laugh most about it is just the writing. Like, obviously, when you're doing a joke, comic timing and everything else works, but I think it's really well written.
Hmm. I would agree with that. I'm no particular expert, but I like to think that I know some things. And one of those things is the community is, certainly at times, very well written.
Yeah.
Wow, well written. Mm. Bloody hell.
Nah, it genuinely holds like a dear spot in my heart. I love the series.
And you got into it at the time?
Yeah, I was watching it as it was coming out, which was a bracing time to be a fan because there were a lot of seasons where they're like, it's happening, it's not happening, it's happening, it's not happening. Yes. It jumped through like so many. It was on, I forget what it was on originally, like NBC or something like that. Yeah. And then it had to switch to like Yahoo, and then I don't know, it got picked up by like three different networks at points.
Yeah, I think Dan Harmon left, Chevy Chase left, Childish Gambino left, Yvette Nicole Brown left.
There was a very famous breaking up between Chevy Chase and
Dan Harmon,
where neither of them really enjoyed working with the other one.
Right. And then but one left and the other.
Yeah, Dan Harmon left and then Chevy Chase left and Dan Harmon came back.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's season four that I think... I think it's season four that Dan Harmon wasn't there for, and a lot of people tend to see that as the worst season, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense if the writing and he was the showrunner.
Yeah,
right,
so. I think so. Well, that's just my, you know, that's my interpretation. The individual may vary, you know. I don't want to say poo-poo anyone else's experience, you know.
Okay, well, I don't think you should then. I think you should hold back because it looks like you're ready to go.
Oh, I'm ready to fight.
I probably won't go through all the story because I was just thinking maybe this is tedious to people who haven't seen it, just like going through storylines. here's trivia from that fandom page.
Please.
Both Crystal the Monkey, who plays Annie's boobs, and Ken Jeong, who plays Ben Chang, appeared in the 2011 sequel of the 2009 hit The Hangover. Crystal is a capuchin monkey, and according to howmuchisit.org, a pet would cost $1,000 or over $10,000. What?
That's a bad website.
What's going on there? Who's buying them as pets? I should really read. I saw trivia. Ooh, fun. Oh,
$1,000 to over $10,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad in, firstly, because of what a huge and
unhelpful not a useful,
range.
Yeah.
But also, like, who's buying a capuchin monkey? You can't put a price on Crystal. she's worth top dollar in my mind.
Also,
and her freedom should be
priceless.
Right. Yeah.
Saying between 1,000 and over 10,000 means that it can cost
anything over 1,000.
Yeah. It's $999 or less will not get you a capuchin.
Okay. Yeah, it's
maybe
quite
a secondhand.
Oh no!
This monkey is used.
Oh no!
Oh no!
It's been damaged in some way.
Oh.
There's no implication for secondhand capuchin that is nice.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's the mini bio for Crystal off IMDb. It
says, yeah. Good.
Crystal the Monk, and I like these because they're written, I think anyone can write them. I haven't pre-checked.
Do you reckon Crystal wrote this herself?
Well, if she's used the nom de plume of Constance Tillotson, which sounds fake to me. Yeah. But anyway, I've only read the first line and it got me in. I'm like, Constance knows how to write. So you'll enjoy it, Adam.
Please hit us with
and
the first
Cass,
line.
And Cass, you both love writing.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to love this.
Big fan. I can't
reading
wait.
Or listening. Not a fan of writing. Reading or listening for me.
Okay. So this is the bio, as according to Constance Tillotson. Crystal the Monkey is no small bananas.
Yes! Get her on the show!
Get her on the show!
Constance, where are you at?
It's just like, I don't know, what would it mean?
Hit us
not
up.
Not even a phrase.
It's a big start. It's a huge start. In just five of her movies, she holds a box office gross of over $2.5 billion.
Wow!
What?
Her film, Hangover 2, opened at $177 million, the largest opening weekend in history for a comedy. She has worked with some of the biggest directors in Hollywood. She has held her own with Oscar winners, stole scenes from top comedians, and is beloved with the press as she commands red carpets. Paired with her extra... My new guess is this is... Constance is actually someone called Tom Gunderson, all right? Let me read on. Paired with her extraordinary trainer, Tom Gunderson, she began in the business at the live animal show at Universal Studios. In 1997, she appeared in her first film, George of the Jungle, which we did an early episode of this show on.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, with over 20 features to her name, came her big break with Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller.
Oh, wow.
We should do that film someday.
Absolutely.
With her naughty character, Dexter, she proved herself as not just a trained animal, but as an actor.
What do they mean with her naughty character, Dexter? Do you mean that as a character she played?
I'm guessing that's the character name from Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
Oh,
like Dexter was
okay.
A naughty monkey.
Okay.
It was a departure maybe from her previous roles at Universal Studios.
Yeah,
where she was
two-shoes.
More in line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She went method on this one. She was a real arsehole on set.
All animals play method.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, that's a constant with them, isn't it? I never really noticed it, but yeah, you're right. In the second installment of Museum, she reprised her role of Dexter and furthered her range by playing the Jewel character of Abel. In 2011, Crystal solidified herself as a box office actress, beginning with Hangover 2, where she was a tour de force as a drug-dealing gangster.
Tour de force.
Wow.
I love how at the start of this, I can't stop thinking about it, they referred to The Hangover 2 as her movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
I reckon I've seen it, and all I can remember right now is Crystal the Monkey.
I could not name a single other actor who was in that movie, no. Just being honest.
Do you think she's one of the biggest stars of Community?
Well, now I do.
Maybe.
She's no small bananas, that's for sure.
She's one of the three breakouts.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. They're all connected, those three. So that, because it's Troy's monkey.
Mm. Oh.
Named after Annie's boobs. So they are the three breakout stars.
Do you reckon maybe they only got popular by association?
Maybe.
Yeah.
They sort of formed a powerful triangle.
They're like, Crystal worked very closely with Childish Gambino. Maybe we'll give this guy a listen, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe they all elevated each other's performances.
Yeah.
Or they negotiate as a team, like the Simpsons
that's good.
Cast.
Yeah.
Or the, I think Friends did that as well, cast of Friends.
They all got the same pay.
Yeah.
Mm. Very
we get paid
clever.
The same or I walk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think so we've called those three the breakout stars. Is Chevy Chase whatever the opposite of that is?
Breakdown star. Fix it?
Yes. Breakdown star,
Breakdown
absolutely.
Star, I think that might be what
from
it...
behind the scenes tales. Ooh, have we become E.T.? Is that it?
What?
No, TMZ.
Oh.
Get phone home or something. No.
Well, E.T. Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
You're not wrong.
How do you not think of the alien first?
I did, but then I saw where he was going.
I like to get my celebrity goss from E.T., so that's what the one I first think of.
John Chin? What was that his name? John...
What?
Chet? John?
I don't know this.
There was a ET host. I'm John Chin.
Well, I actually don't know ET very well. The alien John or the
Chin.
Network.
John Chin. I reckon maybe Surely Full Frontal had a parody version of him was called John Chin.
Chevy Chase is in the upcoming film Panda vs. Aliens, so he's got stuff going on.
Yeah,
that
he's
doesn't
doing
feel right. like a very even match.
Yeah.
First of all, there's only one panda.
Well,
who knows what kind of aliens they are? Because isn't there some ideas that life on other planets might just be moss?
Maybe it sucks.
In the movie that this is a sequel to, Cowboys versus Aliens, the Cowboys did all right.
Is this really a sequel?
No, I do not.
That would
take
be a bizarre.
No, I made that
bizarre sidestep.
That'd be great to have. What's his name? James Bond. What's the actor?
Sean.
Daniel Craig?
No. Daniel Craig, yeah. Daniel Craig was in
as
Cowboys vs. Yeah, as the panda.
And Daniel Craig as the panda.
Oh, man, Harrison Ford was in Cowboys vs. Aliens as well. Wow.
Right.
That's good.
Was Clint Eastwood in it, maybe?
I don't think he was.
Okay.
No.
I've put him in my memory.
I don't remember it being very good, Gas.
Tommy Lee Jones, maybe?
Ooh, maybe. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
I've got to look this up. Cowboys. Is it Cowboys versus Aliens?
It is, yeah.
I'm in already. I never watched it.
Cowboys versus Aliens versus Freddy versus Predator.
It was a Jon Favreau.
Oh, really?
He's gone on to do some things.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford,
and
Olivia Wilde.
Oh, that's right. Olivia Wilde was
that really had a cast.
Yeah, I know, right? What a flop. At least my recollection, unless I remember watching a completely different movie. But that movie did not seem very good to me.
Yeah, right. It's like I like the idea of Old West taking on the aliens. Maybe it's just the name that made it seem shit. But I imagine they picked it because it was kind of goofy.
If I've got this theory where if your movies with a great premise don't tend to be very good because you get sold on the great premise, not on what they actually make.
Right.
That's a theory I have. I'm just letting that out here and now.
But a great premise can lead to a great film.
It absolutely can. I'm not saying that they're not linked in any way. I'm saying that if you have a great premise, you can sometimes, you are more likely to trick someone into letting you make not necessarily a great movie.
Spoken by a tricked man.
Yes. spoken by a man who loved the premise, then watched the movie.
Fair enough.
John Favreau hurt you.
He did.
How do we get to there?
That's a good question.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Pandas versus aliens. Pandas versus aliens.
That's panda, right. Single panda.
Oh.
And who was in that again? Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
That's great. Well done. Because you hear a lot of stories about him being not very nice. Backstage, and it's a real bummer because he's so funny.
Mm.
Like so many classic comedy films he starred. I love growing up, especially, which probably I think it holds up. Caddyshack.
I've not seen Caddyshack.
Oh, it's so good. Mm. Rodney Dangerfield's in it as well. Basically playing Rodney Dangerfield as he.
I used to love a Rodney Dangerfield. There's a old ad. Look, we're getting off track again. Please continue.
You were going to go down a Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah,
path.
I was going to tell you about my favorite Rodney Dangerfield growing up. I'm so sorry. It's Please. An animated movie. He plays a dog. It's very cute.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I think he plays like specifically a corgi. I forget. But anyway, he goes through his whole, you know, the classics, can't get no regard, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Can't get no respect.
Respect.
Can't get no regard.
No regard at all.
Clearly a movie I remember very well.
I wonder if we can link Dangerfield to a monkey somewhere.
Oh, I'd be shocked if we couldn't.
He did a great Simpsons episode where he's Burns' son.
Yeah.
This movie can't hold up well, but I saw it a long time ago and I loved it, where his son... For some reason, his son to go to university, he also had to go to university as a middle-aged man.
Oh.
But he was really rich.
This is a movie, is it?
They all loved him. Yeah.
Huh.
I remember it being a whole lot of fun.
No, that sounds familiar. Keep going, but if I remember it, go
on. Go through his discography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so where were
back
we?
Back to school. That 1986.
Back to school.
What? I gotta find this.
All right. Well, while you were looking for that, what was the last time we were talking about a primate?
Weren't we talking about Crystal and
yeah,
that's right.
Oh, who were the breakout and breakdown stars of Community?
Right,
Crystal,
yes.
Obviously number one.
Crystal's obviously gone on to a great film career.
Yeah.
I don't mean this to sound rude at all, but how long do Capuchins live? Because if she was working at Universal in 97.
Yeah, I don't know how long that was.
Oh, yeah, true.
I wouldn't have been shocked to hear she died. According to Wiki, she's still alive at 25 years of age.
Well, that's really great that there is, like, that she... You know, as an older female actor is still able to find parts. Because I know that's something that, like, is typically very, like, annoyingly difficult.
According to Wikipedia, on average, they weigh from 3 to 9 pounds and live up to 25 years.
Yeah, there you go, see?
She's
at the end of her lifespan.
Up to, that's the upper limit.
So she's breaking records if she makes it through to May.
She is...
Oh, no. Hang on, how old was she when she was working at Universal then?
Oh, it must have been young. I guess.
Three?
Young.
No.
She's 25 and killing it. That's
She'll be
what
one
we
of the last.
Because,
like, this is well last. And truly going out of fashion using animals, live animals in TV and film.
So it
should be one of the. Yeah, of course.
There's
so
no way to properly reimburse an animal for their time.
No, especially when you got buddy Andy. What's his name?
From Toy Story?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis from Toy Story. Did it imagine? Oh, they should do that. They should get Andy Serkis to play Andy from Toy Story in the next Toy Story film. That makes sense to me.
Okay.
The Rodney Dangerfield movie that doesn't matter to this show at all.
It's
called Back to School, and the plot centers on a wealthy but uneducated father, played by Dangerfield, who goes to college to show solidarity with his discouraged son, Jason, and learns that he cannot buy an education or happiness. Oh, my God.
Okay.
I mean, that's true.
I reckon Andy Serkis could play Rodney Dangerfield.
I think. Yeah. They don't look that far different.
Hmm.
Andy Serkis could do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, There it is. Sorry, if we're...
Kurt Vonnegut has a cameo as himself in it.
What?
Cool.
That's cool.
If we're just... just while we're still on the Rodney Dangerfield track, the movie I was talking about, please, is called Rover Dangerfield.
Oh, that's amazing. That's real.
Hang on, let me get a picture of the character he plays. That's a corgi, wow. Right?
This whole film is based on him.
That looks like a beagle.
Is it a beagle? Oh, no, you might be right there, actually. Yeah, it does look more like a beagle, you're right.
A fat beagle.
I was just trying to go from memory what dog I thought he was, or
hey,
breed of
that's
dog.
That's close.
Yeah. God. I hate it when... It's the Simpsons problem, where one of them is drawn really cartoonishly and the other one is very anatomically.
Yeah.
Like later Simpsons, the Simpsons are still drawn as they always were.
Yeah, but
newer
then, like,
characters...
Celebrities or whatever.
Yeah, they get drawn too realistically. Yeah.
Oh,
it's no good.
Strange. I tell you, it ain't easy being me. Well, last week my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet, you'll wake up daddy. Can't get no respect.
He's such a, such an iconic comedian. To have an animated film basically made about him.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
We're a dog. It's a dog him.
Yeah.
It is.
So, Jerry Seinfeld had that children. With B
that's
movie.
True.
Oh, that's right, he did.
That whole movie just seemed like Jerry Seinfeld was goofing around with his friends, being like, what if we did this? And then
what
he
if?
Had enough yes men around him to be like, we're doing it, yeah, right? Or like, you know, you like maybe have a few bevs, you go out, you like do a pitch, and you're like, oh, funny sketch idea. And then the next day, your friend's like, we're doing it. I think the metaphor I meant to use was if someone's like, let's go on a hike together. And the next day they're like, we're going on a hike.
Yeah.
You're like, no. When I did say I would.
When do you think was the last time someone told Jerry Springer? When do you think the last time someone told, now I can only think of Jerry Springer.
Jerry Seinfeld?
Thank you. Oh my God. When do you think was the last time someone told Jerry Seinfeld that he had a bad idea? When do you think?
I think it would
it's
have been
years.
It would have been a year or two after he stopped believing them.
It's probably a legitimately difficult problem.
Yeah,
for someone
absolutely.
Like him, right?
Yeah.
I saw him do like a set on one of the Tonight Shows sort of like a few years ago maybe, and it was like he hadn't been on for a while and I hadn't seen him do stand-up for a while. I'm like, this isn't very good. I think... But then everybody loves it. Like, you go out, everyone's going to laugh at your jokes if you're Jerry Seinfeld and you're at a club. Like, how do you run in material when everyone's, like, just loving you because you're a celebrity?
For stand-up comedians, it must be the worst, especially.
Yeah.
Because it's so important that you are funny.
Yeah.
But if you're so famous that people are going to laugh no matter what, you are just never going to be able to get, like, an honest reaction from people.
And also the more sort of famous you get, the harder it is to sort of stay connected with the audience
as
well.
Yeah.
You kind of have to downplay that. Anyway.
I thought this is a perfect episode to bring back the old segment, which we haven't done since before Evan started on the show.
Second banana ring,
yeah. We used to have
what
a segment
I call what I do.
On the show called Primate Sporting Mascot of the Week.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I remember this.
Now that we've wrapped up on that very in-depth discussion about community.
I think today's topic
somehow
was Rodney
ended up
Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield the dog. But a few people who suggested we do community, some of them said for Annie's boobs, others said for their great mascot, the human being.
Oh, the human being.
Who is technically a primate sporting mascot.
That's very true.
And on the fandom page, it describes it thusly. The Greendale human being is the school mascot designed and created by Dean Pelton and Pierce Hawthorne. Dean Pelton, well, it's funny, the whole episode we didn't talk about the Dean at all.
He's one of the best characters.
Right. He wasn't in the episode that I saw very much.
Really briefly,
Played by...
Jim Rash.
Yeah, Jim Rash.
Dean Pelton wanted to create a new mascot for Greendale as he felt the old mascot, a grizzly bear, was not politically correct enough. Pierce volunteers to help him and they both set out to design the least offensive mascot possible.
While you're looking that up, I'm just going to quickly get a picture of it for everyone to just take in.
That episode is great because I think Jeff ends up commenting on it. They're trying to create something that is so completely neutral to humans that they end up being...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's pretty horrific.
So horrifying, yeah.
What they came up with was a mascot in a tight-fitting grey unitard with the Greendale logo on its chest. It was wearing a faceless mask that had crudely drawn eyes and mouth. The mask itself was tight as well and did not allow the person wearing it to see or breathe well. It first appeared in season one on the episode Football, Feminism and You. It's so dumb that I never noticed that they're all potential class.
I didn't know until I was watching this series for the second time myself. So.
But I also I don't remember really paying attention to the episode titles, I guess. Oh. In my defense.
The worst ones are the ones where the human being is dressed up as something.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a picture of it
you almost
as,
forget.
Yeah, as Cupid, and that is abhorrent.
It's all in the face. It looks like it could be a horror character.
Absolutely.
It's not that far off. That'd be scary. What's the Scream? Ghostface Killer.
Ghostface Killer or Slenderman.
Mm. Yeah, there's going to be a Slenderman about it. The human being was first portrayed by William Love. He and a few other actors have worn the mascot suit since then. In the Community webisode series, Dean Pelton's Office Hours, the human being is portrayed by a female. Oh.
Progressive.
Women can be human being too. So that is kind of like, it's a great parody of both what a committee can do to any creative thing.
Yeah.
But also of just a funny. There's so many niche mascots these days, and I think often they're almost designed to be bad so they get attention.
Yeah. There's definitely a bit of that going on.
And this is, I don't think you could beat this for either of those things.
No,
yeah.
I don't think you could.
Should we give the show a score? I guess let's talk about Community in general, I think, rather than that episode in itself. And Evan, which is going to be a lot harder for you, but the vibe it's given you, I guess.
Go by vibes. Cass, vibe bananas.
What's your banana score for Community?
I'm going to go... A full, fresh bunch.
Ooh.
Whole bunch.
Whole bunch. That's whole two bunch. Perfect scores
fresh,
in a row.
Fresh banana.
Wow.
We've managed to do things I really like. It's been very nice.
I do enjoy doing stuff I like as well. Well done. Well done suggesting good media. How about you?
I'm going with a lunchbox that has one single banana that your mum picked that is perfectly, perfectly preserved in the lunchbox, very perfectly ripe. It's the best. It's the sweetest and most lovely part of that lunchbox that you have. And you got a sandwich in there. You got maybe some, a Le Snack in there.
Le Snacks are great.
Yeah, Le Snacks are great. But you're eating the Le Snack eyeing off the banana. You can't wait for that banana.
Sandwiches are good too.
Sandwiches are great. Yeah, I love a sandwich, but the entire time you're eating every single part of that thing, you're working your way down to the bottom so that you can get to that banana. That's the banana I'm giving.
Holy crap, that's so a real
special.
Good banana.
It's a good banana. So you are special. You are hungry for banana.
I can't. I don't even know I can picture a banana so glorious, but I'd love to.
You have to avert your eyes.
I'd love to. Oh, okay. Too powerful to look at.
Peeled before consumption, as whole bananas are.
I think I'll give it 3.5 out of 5 bananas. I mean, it's...
I love that as a come down. The most magnificent banana. Oh, I reckon 3.5. That's pretty good for a show you before.
Yeah.
Is any of the talk we've had today... Bump the score up?
Yeah. What would you say the score was at the beginning of today's episode versus at the end?
Maybe it's gone up a little, maybe from a 3.
Yeah.
It sounded like it, yeah. I enjoyed the episode and I'd like to watch more of Community.
I like that it doesn't feel like a show that's just thrown together each week. It's like it feels like they're always looking at some sort of a bigger picture.
Right.
Even though, if you look at it in isolation, it can seem just like a bit of a dumb show. But
yeah, right.
I think the more you concentrate, the more dense it feels.
Yeah, I think I'm losing a lot by not having the context.
There's a great joke that I quite love that, well, not joke, but something that if you're just paying attention to in the background is really great. In season 1, 2, and 3, they say Beetlejuice at different points. Huh. And then the final time they say it in season 3 is a Halloween episode. And the third time they say Beetlejuice, immediately in the background, someone in a Beetlejuice costume walks by.
That's pretty
amazing. It's just a cool reference I quite like.
Yeah, there's a lot of those kind of jokes.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was one episode where you watch the whole thing and then I can't remember.
Oh, Ben delivers a baby?
Yeah, there's a secret storyline in the background, which I just didn't notice. Someone told me about it later. I have to go back and look.
It's incredible. Yeah.
I love that sort of stuff. So much effort on things that a small percentage of people might get.
Absolutely.
But then those people will love it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a smart way to build a thing that's bigger than it could be.
I really love chicken fingers.
Right. So okay.
They're good.
That episode made me so hungry.
What are chicken fingers? They're like chicken nuggets?
Kind of, but you know, chicken more nuggets. Of a finger shape,
and
I guess.
They're right, longer, and sense. I feel like chicken nuggets can have a soft to mildly crispy skin, but like chicken fingers
I've
are like
never heard of chicken fingers.
Thicker.
They're like fish fingers.
Yeah, they're more like chicken
they're
tenders.
They're very
I've
heard of chicken
but thinner.
Tenders.
No, I would say fish fingers but chicken is a very good description if you don't know what a chicken finger is.
I think there's also different kinds. Like I think you can
I never heard of them.
If you go to the supermarket, like if you went to that you could go to the frozen section and you could get chicken fingers are like fish fingers.
Yeah.
But
Not chicken strips. Chicken strips is something else.
Okay. Is that where you've just torn chicken off a thing and deep fried
it? A chicken strip is kind of, it's not shaped like a finger. It's like maybe thinner and it's got like it's almost like it feels a little, like a bit that you've torn off the chicken.
Right.
Like the chicken was shaving and then shaved a bit off accidentally, but like a big bit.
And off its leg.
Yeah.
But you made a look, those at home wouldn't notice, but you mimed a chicken shaving its face. I don't think there's a lot of meat on a chicken cheek, or is there?
Look, fair call, it would be shaving its legs. You're absolutely right.
I think good chicken fingers, though, they're bigger. They're like more like tenders.
Mm, yes.
One of my favorite places to eat when I was in New York was a place called Sticky's Finger Joint. in Greenwich Village, which was just a chicken
Where was
finger
this, sorry?
Place. In Greenwich Village? In New
Greenwich
York?
Village. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know there was a Greenwich outside of the UK.
Greenwich Village. It's like a... I think it's quite a, like, a bohemian part of New York.
Okay.
Well, like a Brunswick, like a fancy bohemian. It's expensive, I think.
Starting to get into bragging territory.
Well,
go on.
We didn't really know when we organized it because we had never been to New York before. We were going on a holiday.
Just popped down. We weren't even thinking about it. It was no big deal for us to spend money. And we went and saw, I don't know, some Broadway show. What was it called? Hamilton, I think. I don't even know.
Do that. That's great. Yeah. Was I telling you that?
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I messed up the joke. Please continue.
Hamilton was great.
You did, yeah, you did.
Yeah, that was the whole point of going.
We just popped over to New York to see a musical.
No, it was a
How well is your business doing? I've really got to check out these books here.
You're an equal shareholder.
Yeah. I haven't been popping over to New York to see a musical.
This was in 2016. This is a while ago.
When business was good.
But but Sticky's Finger Joint was good. We went there twice in a relatively short stay.
Well, what was short stay?
Huh?
How short?
Tell
us. 2 weeks, maybe it was 2 weeks in New York.
Oh, okay, that's once a week.
Did they have a veggie option?
I can't remember.
Well, it was a finger joint. It wasn't a chicken joint, so...
Yeah.
Oh,
because when I went to New York, like, in 2013, meatballs was the big...
Just quickly popped over, took Daddy's jet, popped down to New York.
Why were you over there?
I didn't know about Daddy's jet. No, I was over there for a mate's bucks.
Oh, I just... I didn't think the drinking was good in Melbourne. Oh, no.
We rented out.
My choice.
We just rented out.
He set it up. I got dragged
along.
Oh,
you just said, okay, I'll pay the money.
I was there.
I'll get on the plane. I'll fly over. We'll have a party. And I'll just go home.
I was but a boy back then. I had a disposable income.
Oh, you were rich.
We rented I think it was a scout hall, someplace called the Empire State Building.
But when meatballs were like a big thing over there at the time, and they did do veggie meatballs at all their meatball joints as well. Oh, what is this? Anyway, what has this show become?
Evan and Matt brag now.
Yeah, that's the end of the Big Apple with the gang. And it's a new little spin-off podcast we're doing.
It's a spin-off of Getting Fruity.
Big Apple reminiscent.
Our spin-offs have spin-offs.
Yeah.
What are we... Cheers.
The show is eating itself.
Big Apple bragging, maybe. Big Apple bragging with Evan and Matt.
Yeah, great.
Evan, Matt, and two people watching on.
Going, oh, sir! Oh, oh, sorry, sir!
Sounds like a fun show.
I think I'm going to give Community 5.5 bananas out of 7. I really, really quite liked it.
Okay.
Anyone have any connection to the monkey? We normally talk about because Andy on the first episode.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
That we humans and chimpanzees share about 99% DNA. How much do you see of yourself in Annie's boobs?
We're kind of the same age. I got my age wrong. We're so not.
Well, you said kind of. I think that's a good.
She's like 80 and monkey years, though.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, then we have nothing in common. I'm still young. That's insane. They're keeping it working.
Any of you got sticky fingers?
I think I can't answer that question.
not on record.
No, not allowed to.
I'll occasionally accidentally steal a pen.
Oh yeah, I've done that.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
But I think walking away with boobs does it on purpose.
Right. I walk away with people's USB sticks.
Ah.
That happens a bit at work.
Oh.
But then other people do that to me as well, like with pens. You just
they're
sort
they're communal.
Cycle
then.
Through. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose.
I just realized this. SD card has been in my laptop. I've just pulled it out, which is property of Shibidel Studio. I reckon that's been in there for at least 4 months. I'm just sitting there so I don't lose it. I should. I haven't lost it.
Then it's not lost. Yeah. It's as big as a laptop when you put it in a laptop.
So I'm going to say I'm a good 66%.
Ooh, that's nearly a perfect 2/3.
Yeah. I'm about 80 years old in human years.
Yeah, look, now that you've said that, I forgot that she was stealing pens. So, actually, I can't comment whether or not I've stolen anything of real worth. That is a matter for the courts to decide. But of just pens and such like that, I reckon I'm pretty bad. I got some sticky fingers when it comes to taking pens and pencils.
Great. So you're a bit.
Yeah.
So I think we all feel like we're a little bit. We got a little bit Annie's boots
in us.
Yeah. I think generally I always give pens back, but I'm recalling one time where I hosted one of those essential oil parties at my apartment.
Oh,
and then
one
the,
of those. Oh. Essential oil parties.
Oh my god.
Don't know
god.
What it is. Sounds fancy though.
Just burning up that, what's that really cheap oil called? A wad of $100 bills. I forget.
Yeah, the lady left 5 colored pens at my house and I didn't contact her to collect them.
That feels right.
She
left them in your house.
If you grab a pen and walk away with it, that is on you. But if, like, the effort, you have to go through extra effort to give the pens back, that's fair enough.
Unless these are like gold pens or something. I think she left them there. She probably went, whoops.
Yeah,
well,
and I also imagine this is some sort of a pyramid scheme thing.
Oh yeah.
A sales tactic.
She's probably she did the Costanza tactic from Seinfeld where she left something at your house just so you'd have to meet again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. You were very clever to keep those pens.
Well, I'll have you know, I felt bad about it. I felt bad making the decision to not contact her again. I don't even know if I bought anything.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's all right. You're not making a commitment to buy.
Yeah, they tried to trick you.
They tried to trick me. I kept her pens.
That's payment.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I can't believe how many tangents were maybe more than ever. brings us to the point where we thank a few patrons. You can support this show at patreon.com/dogoonpod, where you support this show as well as Do Go On, another podcast I do, and Listen Now, another podcast I do about music. First season about the band Cold Chisel. Real good. You should listen to it. It's the best time.
You're wearing this shirt right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm too. One of two. I saw them live a couple of weeks ago. I bought a new Chisel shirt.
Ooh, were they good?
It was probably the best show I've ever seen.
Aww.
If you want to hear all about it, you can listen to last week's episode.
Yeah. Tell you what, that sounds like a great series to do with like a sibling.
What about a cousin?
Oh, really?
Nah.
One of the rewards you can get for supporting these shows on Patreon is I'll thank you at the end of our episode and I'll read out some sort of a primate thing you've written. And that's what I'm going to do now.
Please.
Which, you know, some people would have been like, why is he bringing that up? But that's because I'm about to do it. Firstly, I'd love to thank Marcos Vasquez, which is a fantastic name.
Yeah.
Marcos writes, hello again, Matt and friends. Oh, that's nice.
His friends?
My favourite prime... Well, I think he's talking to you.
Oh.
Oh. Are we his friends or generous. Are we your friends? Answer now or I'll be sad.
I reckon both.
Yes.
He goes on to say, my favourite primate is still King Kong.
I haven't been able to sway him with my staunch defending of Andy.
No one's put King Kong to you. Is King Kong... He's bigger than Andy.
That's true.
That has never been... You're such a...
No, I'm sorry.
This is why you've never broken him down.
Size is not important to Evan. He goes on to say, which means I'm still waiting for that damn episode. Yeah, we've never done a King Kong episode. But one's coming up. Andy Matthews from Toy Story is keen to do one. Says, again, sorry for this hostility. Also, which I love that sort of low-key hostility. Calling it a damn episode, exclamation mark. Sorry for the hostility. Also, I was the one who wrote a children's book called Primates for my class and still haven't heard from your lawyers, so thank you for not suing me. Hey, Marcos, you've just got to bide your time. These processes take a while, yeah. But don't worry, my team is looking into it.
your children will never learn.
Well, see, the thing is, it's going to take a while because your team is, in fact, a room of monkeys and typewriters.
Yes.
Hoping that eventually, with given enough time, they will write the perfect...
Exactly.
The
perfect writ. The other day I went in there and they'd written, it was the best of times, it was the blurst of times. You idiots, I said. Anyway, they were miles off. I mean, it was close to the start of a great book, but a writ? I think not. I'd also love to thank Jessica and Stephen Gruber. Oh my God. Our Patreon's names are the best.
Those are good.
Jessica and Stephen Gruber.
Gruber is the surname of the villain from Die Hard.
Yeah.
Hans
Gruber.
Hans Gruber, yeah.
They write...
Oh, my God, are they related?
Probably,
oh
yeah.
Oh, well, sorry for your loss. Spoiler alert. Jessica and Stephen write, when, hopefully not if, you come to Seattle, hopefully later this year, I can introduce you to the orangutans I work with once a week.
What?
Three of the five of them have the same birthday in February. In 2020, they will be 11, 31, and 52. Oh, that's cool.
Wow. 52.
What are the odds?
That's wild. Same. Really? That's amazing.
Well, you can definitely expect Matt sometime soon, because it's not a big deal for him to pop down.
I've never been to Seattle, but I'd love to go see the home of Fraser Crane.
That would be a dream.
what a dream. Imagine you're just driving along in one of those yellow taxis they probably have there. And
you listen to
on
the radio.
You turn it on and I'm listening. Oh, my God, me too. Jinx Fraser. Thank you so much, Jessica and Stephen. Cannot wait to get over there. Genuinely, that is slow. There's a slow process hopefully happening where that might be possible later in the year. Ashley Dickinson writes, hello again, Matt and Evan. I watched Rise of the Warrior Apes again recently, and I've decided that chimps are my least favorite primate. Still on team human. Get fucked, monkeys. Nah, they're all right. Holy shit. I mean, chimps aren't monkeys, for starters, but you probably know that, Ashley. You're doing that to get to me. Chimps can be pretty full on, but I'd also argue so can humans.
We have our moments.
Noah, and he's put a link there, which I could probably put somewhere. I don't know what the link is to, but probably that show that he just watched again. Which is called Rise of the Warrior Apes. Have we seen that?
I don't know that.
Aren't we seeing it
not
next
together.
Week?
We have separately. yes.
I'm pretty sure we're seeing it next week, aren't we?
Perfect.
All of us together as friends.
Yes, great. Of course.
The only way to watch. I'd also love to thank Noah Ab. I'm a big fan of Travis the Chimp, bracket, not really. Whoa, what a sharp turn that was.
So many people harshing on primates today.
Then said, that's the subject of a super tragic incident that may actually make for an interesting episode. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, don't do sad monkey stories.
Yeah.
And Travis nearly killed a woman.
Oh.
Oh.
Nearly? So,
Oh. Oh. So.
Are you saying a redemption story?
Maybe, like, I can picture the chimp holding its fist, ready to take the knockout blow, like you did earlier to Evan Adam. Yes. And going, no, I mustn't. And then changes the fist into, a hand, and she pulls the woman up.
Yeah.
And they embrace, and they go on to, like, start a library together. And they really change everything.
Starting a library together.
Yeah, redemption.
Yeah, well, hey, that's the classic redemption arc.
Noah finishes by saying, I'd say my favorite fact is that some primates have what is called a toilet claw used for grooming. Ah. That's a fun fact I wasn't aware of.
Is it toilet claw?
Toilet claw.
I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like the name.
That makes me upset.
That makes me imagine that it is a stick that has a clawed end that they use to wipe themselves. That's what it sounds like to me.
It's not a claw on the monkey?
Oh, you're a back scratcher. It's got.
They really only have the two. They can't be differentiating like that.
Monkeys have two claws?
Two hands.
But that's 10 claws.
What? No, a claw is... Surely a claw contains... You're thinking of fingers?
I thought the claw... I pictured the claws being the, like, nails.
Yeah, the claws are nails.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is a nail not a nail?
Oh.
No, it's
but a... But is a claw not
but a... But a claw is a...
Wasn't a paw not a paw?
Yeah, paw is a paw.
A hand not a hand?
A claw and nails are, like, sisters.
Can a claw be but a single finger?
No, it's the sharp bit on the end.
It's the nail.
Like a talon?
Yeah, like a talon. But that talon is for birds and nails is for humans. Claws is for animals.
Yeah, but if they're talking about a claw for a monkey, then are you sure it's an appendage they have or is it like a stick they might use?
Do they give any more information?
Yeah,
Evan, do you mind looking this up? I'm going to read out. I'm a little bit backlogged if you've got another couple of minutes spare on reading out some 5-star reviews, which
please.
I'll do. If you give us a 5-star review, I'll probably read it out if it's not too long. Here are...
Good flex.
Here are a few.
I just haven't had enough time to read out all these 5-star reviews.
Michael writes, 5-star.
Us.
Good podcast. That's pretty
Ooh.
Good. William writes, super lit, 10 out of 10 banana dildos.
Foster, all right.
Which is a reference to a previous thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Pop Cross Studio writes, oh, no, I reckon I've read some of these before. I've read that one before. You should look up Pop Cross Studios. This is why I haven't had time for it, because I'm rereading them all.
Also, two people tend to go on tangents on this show. I won't say who.
Yeah.
Kevin Olbarn writes, 5 stars. I run a smoke shop, you know, bongs and the like.
You'll kill me. You can't.
And I play this podcast in my shop all the time. You may not be surprised to learn that my specific clientele eats this stuff up. Always enjoyable to hear multiple customers laughing from different parts of the store and share a moment of watching them stop shopping and listen to an argument about chicken salt. Great stuff.
Bongs and the like. I hope that's the name of the shop.
That's a great name for a shop. Bongs and the like.
Hopefully we don't cause too many of them to stop shopping.
Yes.
Keep shopping, everybody.
Yeah, keep shopping.
Buy stuff.
If you're
bongs and the like.
If you are listening to us and considering purchasing a bong, please buy that bong.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Coles Radio. Welcome to Bongs and the Like.
And finally, Nathan Swap writes, one of the best on the Do Go On Mini Network. There's 4 podcasts on the network. So one of the best is a big compliment. Thank you so much.
Hey, that's placing.
This is a great great podcast and one of the best in the mini network. A solid bronze medal. Like I said,
you placed.
There's 4 podcasts. I'm on 3 of them.
Oh my God, which one's 4?
Ooh.
Well, I'd have to assume the one I'm not on. by the way, I can't find Evan's channel, Jiminy Cricket's Jamming Jamboree. Disney probably took it down for copyright infringement. Yeah, they might have.
That sounds like them.
He's written it weird because he's a speech impediment or something, but he spells it like you would pronounce gamygame.com.
Is that right? Yes.
But it's actually pronounced Jiminy Cricket's Jamming Jamboree. thank you so much for all those reviews. Really do appreciate it. Give us 5 stars. I might read them out. Now, where can people find you, fantastic guests? They can find Evan at gaminggame.com.
Yep. Or on YouTube, Gamey Gamey Game. We're back on Monday, Sunday night. We're premiering our new season.
Yeah, I haven't seen an invite in the old letterbox, but I'll keep sitting there.
You'll be on soon enough.
Whenever I'm not in the podcast studio, I'm sitting by the letterbox.
I think both of ours keep getting lost in the mail.
Must do. Knowing I'm a big gamer, yeah. Microsoft Golf for life.
It's not an efficient way to organise shows.
Looks like he's in the trees, Jim. Huh? That's a gaming reference. And Sans Pants Radio, one of the greatest networks. Probably
you're too kind.
Top three.
You're too solid bronze.
Which is that? Which is a genuine compliment.
Still, literally too kind. Please, we are garbage.
We have our gentle bins who open our lids to spill. You can find us at sanspantsradio.com. Adam and I are on D&D is for Nerds, which if you look D&D is for Nerds up on Twitter, you can find our Twitter. The handle spelt with D, the letter N, D, because you can't have an ampersand. All Sans Pants Radio at Twitter or Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm Cass Page online.
I'm at Retro Archetype on any social media you are a part of.
I'll write that stuff in the show notes. People can find Primates at Primates Pod on all the social medias or all the old people ones. I don't think we're on TikTok, but and Primates Pod.
You got to get a TikTok.
At gmail.com.
I got a TikTok.
The amount of stuff I would not put on there, you know? Oh, shit, I got to do something on TikTok? Yeah. I've got enough stress in my life.
No.
No one's on Byte yet?
Are you on Byte?
No.
Oh, what's that? Is that the new one replacing Vine or whatever?
Yeah, it's from the guy that originally made Vine, I think, and then he left, and then...
I'm getting on. I'm going to get on the ground floor.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if the user rights are different, because if you make a Vine, I'm sorry, if you make a TikTok owns it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if it was the same.
TikTok's pretty dodgy. I don't know.
Yeah,
no, I think this is an opportunity for Byte to come back, dodge a claw back some of its Vines.
You see, TikTok, a lot of people are just sharing on Twitter and stuff other people's TikToks and them going viral.
Yeah.
I saw one where there was this girl who was at the mall eating people's food on a what do you call it?
Sushi train?
Moving staircase.
Oh, an escalator.
Escalator.
Okay.
What's this
Matt
thing?
Matt looking really chic fish right now.
Darth Trooper. And So then it's been tweeted and got hundreds of thousands of retweets.
Mm.
And then she's coming and going, hey, guys, this is me. And, like, getting no love for it. It feels like a brutal system where, like, you can just so easily repost it without any... It's an option
to save it. So you can turn saves and duets and replies on so anyone can just save your video.
Right, yeah.
When you save a video off TikTok, it has like a little watermark thing, which I've noticed. I watched a TikTok the other day that had that little watermark, and I realized someone had downloaded someone else's TikTok and then uploaded it on their TikTok account. Very cheeky.
That is very cheeky.
Yeah,
that's... No good.
You see that with tweets a lot. People just cut and paste a good joke, and often they go viral.
It's such a scummy move.
It's such an easy thing to search as well.
Yeah.
Big scum.
I don't get it.
Can't wait to have a joke good enough on Twitter that someone steals it.
Oh, same.
That's the dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of the episode, which I think was about community and...
something. I distinctly remember someone saying that this episode was about Rodney Dangerfield.
That's it. Yeah. In the danger zone with Matt and the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Cass is a bad boy. No.
Worst boy.
And a bad boy.
So thanks so much for joining us, one and all. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast...
Apes to meet you!
Hey, we got you in on it as well.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean... If you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.